All right. Morning, Gavin here. Welcome, and I'm joined as usual by Tim Overall for our monthly chat. Welcome, Tim.
Yeah, good morning, Gavin, and good morning, Braidwood. A very drizzly, wintry day out there, and it's coming off from the coast by the look of it, this particular weather band. And I noticed driving over this morning, it was all clear until just past Bungendore. Then you hit this mist and fog all the way through to Braidwood and probably to the coast.
Yeah. It's our weather guru tells us it's to do with because we're close to the scarp and we get the wind, you know, movement of the wind or the air, and sort of it rolls and turns around. And I mean, he can explain it better than I can. I should be able to explain it pretty good because I've heard it so many times sitting opposite him on Saturday mornings. But yeah, Roger, he certainly he's got a passion for the weather. So he could explain it better than I could. So, all right, well, you've had a bit of a break.
Yes, had a good break and with the family, and spent 10 days down the coast. A lot of people down there.
Right.
But it was mixed weather, but actually went fishing down at Maria Heads with a couple of friends. One of them's got a boat, so we went out to sea and fished, and I'd had a heavy night the night before, so it was a pretty rugged day. But I caught a fish.
Well, that helps.
Ended up on the barbecue, and it was a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah, there's nothing down like the up and down motion of the stomach's a bit weak, is it?
That didn't worry me. But there was a big swell out there, and then the wind came up at about 11 o'clock in the morning. We went out at 6. And he was, you know, right out there to sea, fishing away in the swell and the wind. And my friend likes Jimmy Barnes, so he had this speaker going with all this Jimmy Barnes music. And as I said, a bit of a heavy night the night before.
Right.
I thought, this is fun, but, you know, be nice to get home.
It's a funny story, but every time I either play a Jimmy Barnes song or someone talks about it, I remember years ago, one of those they used to have that program, The Funniest Home Videos, and there was a little girl her mother wanted to do something or wanted to go somewhere or whatever, and this little girl wanted to watch Jimmy Barnes on the thing, so she's screaming, "Jimmy Barnes, I want Jimmy Barnes!" It's one of those things that's, it's, you know, stuck in my, it's impaled on my memory. All right, well, we've just had Australia Day ceremonies, and they were a bit different this year given COVID.
Yes, they were. It started across the local government area with the normal breakfast in Jerrabombra, an outdoor breakfast, barbecue, and put on by the local Rotary Club. The numbers were certainly down, and they were certainly down in Bungendore at the 10 a.m. ceremony in the council chambers with the awards. The Braidwood attendance was pretty much was good.
Yeah,
it was good, I thought.
Yeah, numbers. There were quite a few people there.
Then Queanbeyan at 5 p.m. Again, a modest ceremony. We'd had no food stalls. We had no entertainment, no Sing Australia Choir, no fireworks afterwards, because with the fireworks straight after the ceremony, about 8:30, 9 o'clock, usually we get up to 8 to 9,000 people around the Oval for those fireworks. But all that part was cancelled. We had the citizenship ceremony, 27 new conferees, and it started to rain at about 4:30. And people had turned up, and it was light rain. Umbrellas were out. But then when the ceremony kicked off, just after 5, the rain disappeared, which was very fortunate. We persisted, and it was a good event at the end.
Right, okay. And we've had our first meeting for the year, meeting of council, and because you congratulations to quite a few of the Australia Day Award winners here on Braidwood. We had
I might just run through some of these because we started off, of course, with the events of the year with the awards, and in Braidwood that went to the Braidwood Redbacks Rugby Union Club for that amazing Bushfire Sevens tournament, which was absolutely huge and very wet and damp, but a very successful event. And in Queanbeyan, it went to the Queanbeyan Show Society for the Queen Bee and Show. And then there was the Young Citizen of the Year categories. And again, I'll run through them because there's some amazing people doing extraordinary things.
There are,
of course,
yeah,
in Braidwood, Angelie Williams. Amazing work with Braidwood District Education Foundation and the Touch Football Club and the local show society. She was Young Citizen of the Year. In Bungendore, Hudson Fogarty Apps. She created Huddy Day, an annual fundraiser event to increase awareness and understanding of autism in Bungendore.
Yeah.
And in Queanbeyan, it went to Taylor Ann Cannell. Now, Taylor Ann lives in Googong. She's a young girl, I'm guessing about 19. And during the lockdown in March with COVID and we all confined to our homes essentially, she started this dance cam thing for Googong residents.
Right. Yeah.
And it took off. And she drove around with her father driving the car and all these people were scheduled to come out on their driveways, dress up and do a dance. And she filmed all this and posted it all and it went viral and she had 15 million hits across the world with all these Googong people sort of, trying to get over the lockdown with the COVID pandemic. So, you know, a great moral support for the community. And then I have to say, Citizen of the Year, well, in Braidwood, shared between Jamie Reynolds and Geraldine Sutton. Jamie, amazing decades of service with the Araluen Progress Association, the Araluen Sports Day, Braidwood Apex, the Show Society, Landcare, Chamber of Commerce. And
Lions as well.
Yeah, Lions Club also. And Geraldine, of course, 32 years establishing and organising the Saturday markets in Ryrie Park. In Bungendore, the award winner was Chloe Palethorpe. She's established Phil's Emporium, a community-centred shop and food hub, local weekly farmers market, and does a lot of work supporting the vulnerable people in Bungendore. And in Captain's Flat, Russell Dandridge, for his work with the Captain's Flat Men's Shed, actually establishing the Men's Shed, working with the team and doing a lot of fundraising. And in Queanbeyan, Richard Gregory, Citizen of the Year, for he's President and Chairman of Legacy and has been for many, many years.
Right.
And then there was a special Mayoral Award for Community Service. Only 5 of these awards have been given in 12 years. And they went to Dennis and Carol McGrath for course initiating, coordinating and leading the Blaze Aid Assistance Program.
Right.
So congratulations to all those award winners, amazing people.
Yep. A little clap there. All right, okay, so we're on now to the first meeting of council and held again via Zoom.
Yes, held again via Zoom. It was a 2.5-hour meeting, which is pretty efficient, I have to say, given the agenda. Well done, Mr. Chair. I don't say myself. But the good news is with the restrictions easing in December, the New South Wales government now allows one person per 2 square metres instead of 4 square metres.
Right.
And that means the Office of Local Government has now allowed members of the public to attend council meetings. So we considered this last night at the meeting of council. So from February meeting, subject to a bit of technology being put in place within the chamber, the public will be allowed to attend council meetings. We also agreed that councillors, staff and members of the public can still participate remotely and Zoom in if they prefer. We will be holding our council meetings in the Queanbeyan chambers until such time as virtual attendance is not required at all.
Right.
Because that's the way the technology is set up.
Yeah. And is there more room in there?
So once all that's overcome, fingers crossed, then we'll move our council meetings back into Bungendore. And we will also resume in-person community meetings at Braidwood, Bungendore and Queanbeyan. And the next set of community meetings is in April, May. Right. So it'll be face-to-face, back to normal.
Right.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
Yes, all being well.
Yes, yeah, so sure. That's good news.
All right. Okay, and so do you want to talk anything about that, or do you want to have your music break now?
Oh, I think we might move on to the music break, and then we'll get back to the council meeting.
Yep.
Yeah, I look, an oldie, huge hit at the time, catchy tune. It's the Kalin Twins.
Right.
And a song called When. It was a big number one hit at the time.
Oh, okay. Right. I can't recall it.
When you smile at me, well, I know our love will always be. When you kiss, when you kiss me right, I don't want to ever say goodnight. I need you, I want you near me, I love you, yes I do, and I hope you hear me when I say be mine. If you will, I know all will be fine. When will you be mine?
Oh baby, I'm in love. I want you near me. I love you. Yes, I do, and I hope you hear me.
I did remember it after all, as soon as I heard the first few bars.
Yes, a song called When, Kalin Twins, a big hit at the time. It goes back a fair while, like Gavin, but we won't talk about that era.
No, it's going back in time. I mean, we're well, here we are, we're almost near the first, nearly through a month, the first month of this year. And, you know, so I think the older you get, the quicker time goes by for some reason.
True, very true.
All right, okay, so we've had a few reports. Bungendore Sports Hub.
Yes, the Bungendore Sports Hub. This was a development application that came to council last night. The applicant, of course, was Queanbeyan Palarang Regional Council because it's a council development. And the Bungendore Sports Hub is stage one is for two hard court netball courts, two turf pitches suitable for rugby league, rugby union, soccer, and an amenities building, car parking, and so forth. Then there's stage two, which was all part of the same development application we approved last night, with an additional four hard court netball courts, four turf pitches, and an additional amenities building and more extensive car parking. And I have to say, the relocation of the Bungendore swimming pool, which we've discussed before, to make way for the new high school in Bungendore, was not part of this application. That will be a separate development application, which will be part of the sports hub. So council approved this last night, so now we can crack on with the work. And just to remind listeners of the location, as you're coming into Bungendore, going through town on the King's Highway, you turn left at the intersection and head into Queanbeyan and Canberra direction along the King's Highway. Well, you don't. You just keep going straight through.
Oh, past the Clean Seeds or whatever it is.
Yes, past Clean Seeds. So there's going to be a roundabout there.
Right.
But so that, and that road will continue and just link straight into the new sports hub in Bungendore.
So that's going to be where that car park for Clean Seeds is now. You drive through there.
Yes. Oh, okay. That's an existing roadway on the map. So there's been a bit of tree clearing there
undertaken
by council.
And
that'll be the one of two entries to the sports hub. The other will be off Bungendore Road as you head towards the Bungendore Showground.
Right.
And swing in there.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So Sportsfield high charges and COVID restrictions, etc.
Yes, another report last night. So at our council meeting back in July, council resolved to waive the ground hire fees for outdoor court hire and sports fields, also lighting costs for all council-based sporting clubs and associations for the six-month period to the end of last year, 31st of December, and agreed that we should reassess it early in the new year. So we did that at the council meeting with a report last night, and council resolved to extend the waiving of field hire and court hire floodlighting fees for a further 6 months to June. So this is good news for all the sporting clubs because, you know, with COVID, they haven't been able to do their fundraising and kiosk events and so forth.
Right.
So they can continue to use all the facilities without charge for a further 6 months. And the actual benefit to sporting clubs and associations across our local government areas, probably in the order of, for 12 months, around about $120,000. So all up. So
quite a good.
It's a benefit.
For sure. Okay. So you mentioned the roundabout just before, and the Bungendore roundabout. What? I'm surprised that there is a need for it. Anyway, there's obviously going to be one coming, and we're going to have so there may be some implications for Braywood's proposed roundabout as well. Are they connected in some way? Or?
Well, yeah, it's a bit controversial. This so King's Highway is a transport for New South Wales. Highway managed as a state road, and anything we do there requires Transport for New South Wales approval, and they have decided that, along with our council engineers, that a roundabout is necessary for that intersection, particularly as the traffic continues to build with the growth of the ACT, the region, and the commuter traffic to the coast, and it can get a bit congested there, of course, even now during those holiday times in particular. So just going back a bit, in August 18 months ago, 2019, council resolved to prepare a design for the roundabout, and council resolved that it's got to include a garden bed, not just a concrete roundabout in the middle of Bungendore. And there's a lot of community interest in this. They just don't want a concrete roundabout. They want garden bed in the centre of it.
So just going, when you go along further to Gibraltar Street, you're talking about they don't want a roundabout like that because that's almost all...
That's right. And then so they want flower beds and be softened approach and more in keeping with the character of Bungendore.
Right.
So council was resolved that it include a garden bed. Well... Now, for this project to proceed, it needs approval of Transport for New South Wales. They approve the design. Right. And then say, go ahead. Now, they've notified that it's not going to have a garden bed. It's just going to be concrete configuration, so B-double trucks or buses can mount it and drive over the top of it if necessary. So this report came back to council on that basis. So we have a conflict. And I have to say that the council last night has a strong view, and I believe it's unanimous, but not all councillors spoke, but I believe it's unanimous, that we're going to stick to our guns and insist that staff construct a roundabout with a garden bed.
Right.
So it was also resolved that we have a workshop to just discuss this a bit further. So we'll do that the next 2 weeks. And for the mayor to have some discussions with the member for Monaro and deputy premier about this very sensitive issue.
Right.
Which I, in fact, notified the council last night that I already had some discussions with John Barilara on the matter. And I think he's pretty much in agreement that we should persist. And I can see that's what's going to happen. So just watch this space. But, what actually transpires, but I think it is, my view, it's very important that, you know, the roundabout needs to be in keeping with the village character.
Right.
And if it can sustain, which I believe it can, some low shrubbery plantings safely.
Right. So wouldn't it have to be offset slightly to make it, if it's going to have a garden bed in it, wouldn't it have to have enough space for the trucks and that to get around? So
yeah, it'd be more towards the centre of the roundabout, so there'd still be some concrete, and maybe stamped coloured concrete rather than sheer white concrete.
Yeah, yeah.
Edging. So, but I, you know, if you have some garden feature in the centre of a roundabout, I think with trucks and buses in particular, the whole thing's designed for a B-double to be able to navigate it without mounting the roundabout,
right,
for a start.
Yeah.
But if you have those sort of features in the centre of it, like a garden bed, well, you know, it says to driver behaviour,
slow down.
Just
a
bit. Be careful and make sure I don't mount that. That's, whereas if it's just a concrete roundabout pad, well, it's just easier for a truck driver to say, okay, swing around and mounts, and it mounts, so
yeah for sure.
Mm. So right, we'll see how that works out.
So what's the implication then for
roundabout? Well, of course, there's proposed roundabout by Transport for New South Wales at the Sell Street Highway. That's in the plans, so that will eventuate, and I can see that it's got to be nicely designed.
So, well, I guess if you've made the step with one, it's a lot easier to make the step with the second, isn't it? So, if you're successful with the roundabout at Punganuan, it's a lot easier to say, well, okay, we've done it here, we can do it there as
look,
well.
Look, I think we're in a similar situation as what I understand happened with Braidwood and the pedestrian crossings. Initially, the RMS in those days said, no way, no pedestrian crossings, it's a highway, and this is highways for vehicles. And I think it ended with the intervention of the minister, Duncan Gay, at the time. And that saw the pedestrian crossing. So I think the staff engineers, traffic engineers, were overruled. So that's why you have pedestrian crossings.
Right. Yeah, well, that was necessary anyway. All right, so we've got a proposal for a new project, sudden cardiac arrest. What's that about?
Yeah, well, this project arose out of a chance meeting I had with Greg Page, who was the original yellow wiggle in the Wiggles.
Oh, right.
Now, Greg had I had a chance meeting with him, and Greg had a sudden cardiac arrest on stage and was revived.
Right, yeah.
And after some time in hospital, and he luckily survived. And he was aware that I was once CEO of the ambulance service, and the time we were introducing defibrillators into the ambulance service for all vehicles. So Greg is part of an organisation called Heart of the Nation, and with some substantial funding from the Heart Foundation, he has the ability to work with the community to assist with sudden cardiac arrest defibrillators to be installed. So he's offered to work with council as the Heart for the Nation organisation and supply 10 defibrillators free of charge, and on the basis that council would be required to purchase and install high-vis AED cabinets as part of the project and work with the community to identify the best locations.
Right. So they'd be out, placed out in various locations.
Yes. Is that what would happen? For community to access. Could be in the, just sitting there on the wall in the main street.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone has a sudden cardiac arrest while shopping. Council resolved to support the project in principle and to allocate $10,000 from the bushfire recovery budget for the cabinets and so forth.
Yeah.
So council also resolved that the project be focused initially on the Braidwood eastern region of the LGA for the 10 defibrillators, and that the local community recovery group in Braidwood essentially determined the best location for those 10 AED defibrillator units. And so that's really good news. So that's all going to be put in place. And, of course, the local recovery group has community representatives and also part of our recovery hub here for the bushfires, and a bit of funding from there for the cabinets, and there'll be also an education program rolled out for the community, and some of that obviously will no doubt come through Braidwood FM, so about the installation of these. And and they're very simple, because, you know, with all the technology these days, you just get hold of that defibrillator and you just press the start button and it just tells you the instructions what to do. Do this. Now this, stand back, press the button, and it's as easy as that. And that that critical few minutes will save lives.
That's right, because they reckon that the first 3 minutes or five minutes or something after a stroke in particular is really critical in terms of the person's
survival,
recovery.
Survival.
But also the extent, if they survive, the extent of the damage that they may have in terms of full or partial use of their
critical 4 minutes.
For sure. Okay, any other matters from council?
Well, I'll just mention about we're just entering the budget cycle, so we need to prepare our operational plan and budget for the coming financial year, 2021 to 2022. So in the normal circumstances, our operational plan and budget is based on an adopted delivery program for the council term, the four-year council term. However, this was a three-year council term. But given the local government elections were postponed 12 months by the government because of COVID, we don't have a delivery program for continuing for the 21-22 financial year. So the operational plan and budget we're preparing will be a standalone document in a sense.
Right.
Now, we've agreed the calendar, so there'll be a workshop prepared on 7th of April to go through this with staff and councillors, the preparation of a draft budget and fees. On the 28th of April, it will come to a meeting of council for endorsement to go on public exhibition for community submissions as a draft budget. And that process of community submissions and consultation will include the community meetings, which will be face-to-face, as I mentioned, both in Braidwood, Bungendore and Queanbeyan.
Right.
And then once we get into June, then all those submissions will be assessed in a workshop. The budget will be tweaked with some of those submissions, some additions, some things might be taken out or deferred to allow some higher priority projects that the community would like to see. And scheduled for 23rd of June, the final adoption of the budget and operational plan for next financial year. So there will be all that community engagement and the community meeting.
Right. Well, that sounds pretty good. Okay. So we just had a request from previous mayor awards, so we'll have a discussion about that afterwards, and those who are sort of like wanting to know about that, we'll let them know. Possibly for our next chat.
Next meeting, yes, happy to do that. My recollection is there's only five awards been the Mayoral Community Awards, Service Awards for exceptional and enduring service over a period. So yeah, we'll get that list out, and I can think of a few off the top of my head straight away, but we'll run through those because they're very notable people.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Okay. Well, thanks for coming in, and we'll you're back again with us Thursday, the 25th of February, following the February Council meeting.
Yes, look forward to it, Gavin, as always.
All right.